This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, tasliman kathiran kathira. From Mabadu, my brothers and sisters, we just finished Ramadan, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us to make us muttaqoon. I remind myself and you that all the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are for the muttaqoon. So it is worth the effort to become a muttaqi and benefit from this. In Ramadan, we reminded ourselves that we are Muslim, that we have submitted our will to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By following the order of Allah, we held ourselves back during the specified hours from things which are otherwise halal. This reinforces the meaning of being a Muslim, someone who submits to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the secret to the greatest wealth, which is ta'alluq ma'allah, connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the topic of my khutbah today, which is feel Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your heart. To this Jummah and next Jummah, inshallah, we will talk about this. What does it mean to really know that Allah is with me, to feel Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in my heart? It is in this connection that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us the story of His Khalil Ibrahim alayhi salam. I want you to watch this happen. I want you to put yourself in that position and watch it happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّي أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى قَالَ أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ قَالَ بَلَى وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي قَالَ فَخُذْ أَرْبَعَةً مِنَ الطَّيْرِ فَصُرْهُنَّ إِلَيْكَ ثُمَّ اجْعَلْ عَلَى كُلِّ جَبَلٍ مِنْهُنَّ جُزْءًا ثُمَّ ادْعُهُنَّ يَأْتِينَكَ سَعْيًا وَعَلَمَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and remember when Ibrahim alayhi salam said, my Rabb, show me how you give life to the dead. How do you bring back the dead? And he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, don't you believe? And he, Ibrahim, said alayhi salam, yes, I believe, but to be stronger in faith. And then he, Jalla Jalaluhu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, take 4 birds, then cause them to incline towards you, then slaughter them, cut them into pieces, and then put a portion of each of them on every hill, and call them and they will come to you in haste. And know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is almighty, all wise. Now, you know what always strikes me in this ayah is how natural this conversation is. What does it say about the sense of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's presence in the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam? What does it say about the sense of Allah's presence that Ibrahim alayhi salam must have felt? That he simply asked a question. This is not a formal dua in salah. It is just a natural conversation between two who know each other very well. It shows such a level of comfort that I can only marvel at it. I can only marvel at it. Ibrahim alayhi salam must have been a young boy when he asked this question. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved that so much that he answered him in such an affectionate way. Don't you believe? It's like somebody, say a very dear close friend of mine is asking me, where is your house? So I said, what? You don't know my house? It's like saying, you are asking me this question. I mean, you are my best friend. How is it that you don't know my house? You don't know where I live? It shows such a closeness and so much of love. And Ibrahim alayhi salam's answer also is, yeah, of course, bala. Of course I believe. But just to strengthen my faith. Yeah? Qalu bala, walakinna yatma'inna qalbi. وَلَكِلِّ يَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِ. And that is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that if Ibrahim alayhi salam could ask this, could say this, then we have an even greater right to say it. Meaning that he is the Khalil of Allah, he is so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he had to say this to strengthen my faith, show me a sign, then we should be able to say it even more. And of course, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Khalil of Allah himself. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Ibrahim alayhi salam, think about this. Ibrahim alayhi salam asked a question. Now, how do you bring back the dead? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have just done that. Okay, here is something which is living, kill it, bring it back to life, this is how it happens. No. Allah gave him a whole project to answer his question. Take four birds of four different species. Now remember, he's not asking him to get domestic birds, you know, chickens, ducks, geese. Now these were, Ibrahim alayhi salam lived in an agrarian society, agricultural society. So birds and animals are part of their lives. All agrarian societies, birds and animals are very much part of the lives of the people. It's nothing new for them to have, you know, chickens and cats and dogs and cattle and sheep and so on. It's all around there. Allah did not say take one. Allah said find four birds, wild birds. Then tame them. Incline them towards you means what? Means tame them. They become your pets. Again, remember, free-flying birds. He didn't say, catch the bird, put it in a cage. No, no cages. Free-flying bird. Take the bird, tame it, so it comes to you. Now, I sometimes wonder why we don't do this as a class project when teaching this tafsir of this ayah to the children. To return to the story, this means that Ibrahim alayhi salam must find the nests of four birds because there's no way, you can't catch a wild bird and tame it. You need to get that bird in the nest when it is still a chick, a fledgling. So he has to now identify four different species of birds. He has to go and find their nests. Where do they nest? Some nests in trees, some nests in the ground, some nests in holes of trees, some nests in houses, different birds. Some nests high in rocks. So he has to find these four birds. He has to identify their nests. He must figure out their life cycle, meaning, you know, when do they lay eggs? How long does it take for the eggs to hatch? All of this will be different for different birds. And then he has to take one chick out of each of those nests at the exact right time. If he takes it too young, it will die. If he takes it when it is too old, either it will fly away, he can't catch it, or even if he catches it, then same situation, he can't train it. He has to take that chick out at the exact correct time. Now, you know, who's guiding all this? Huh? Ibrahim Islam doesn't have some search engine to ChatGPT or Google or something to go and find out. No. And then he has to figure out what does that bird eat, because all these birds eat. There some are seed eaters, some are meat eaters, some are worm eaters, some are, you know, different kinds. So he has to figure out which bird eats what. And then he takes those chicks, brings them home, feeds them, keeps them, trains them. Now they are free flying, they are adult birds, they come to him and he calls them. Now all of this takes time. It won't take, you know, years, but obviously it takes, in some cases it might take months, indefinitely it will take weeks. Then when all of this is done, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he must slaughter them, chop them up, mix it all up, make it into piles, and we don't know exactly how many piles, and put them on top of the different hills around that. And so you've got, you know, the head of one bird and tail of one bird and the entrails and the bones and the feathers and everything else and spread all over. And then he comes back down in the middle of all those hills and he calls them and they all come to him. I mean, just think about this. You know, you've got some, on one hill you've got the intestines of one bird and the same birds, the legs are, the feet are on some other hill. Yeah, so you can imagine all this stuff happening. I don't know, did he see it happening? Did it just come to him? SubhanAllah. Now, put yourself in this position and say, what do you think will happen to you? Just thinking of this makes my skin tingle, you know, with excitement and with the awe and majesty of Allah. Imagine Ibrahim alayhi salam to whom it happened. This is the meaning of connecting to Allah. This is the meaning of feeling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your heart. Now think about this. Ibrahim alayhi salam was not the only one who asked this question. Actually, the ayat just before this in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about another man who asked the same question, but in a different tone. The tone he asked the question was almost like kufr, almost like deny. Ah, how can it happen? That kind of question, that kind of tone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, أَوْ كَالَّذِي مَرَّ عَلَىٰ قَرْيَةٍ وَهِيَ خَاوِيَةٌ عَلَىٰ عُرُوشِهَا قَالَ أَنَّا يُحْيِي هَذِهِ اللَّهُ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا فَأَمَاتَهُ اللَّهُ 100 عَامٍ ثُمَّ بَعْثَهُ قَالَ كَمْ لَبِثْتَ قَالَ لَبِثْتُ يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْضَ يَوْمٍ قال بل لبثت 100 عاما فانظر إلى طعامك وشرابك لم يتسنه وانظر إلى حمارك ولنجعلك آية للناس وانظر إلى العظام كيف ننشزها ثم نكسوها لحما فلما تبين له قال أعلم أن الله على كل شيء قدير. الله سبحانه وتعالى said, or like the one who passed by a town and it was a ruin, it had tumbled over its roofs. He said, oh, how will Allah ever bring it back to life after its death? Now see the tone of this. How can this happen? Meaning it cannot happen. How is it even possible? That's the kind of tone he's asking. This is very different from Kaifa Tuhil Mauta. Kaifa Tuhil Mauta is, of course, I know you're going to just show me how. The question here is not whether you can do it or not. The question here is, show me how it is done. Let me see it happen. Whereas this man, he says, how will Allah make it? How can it happen? Meaning, it cannot happen. Very, very important how to ask a question. Then Allah says, so Allah caused him to die for 100 years. You want to see how it happens? Die. Then you bring it back. So, or like the man who passed by our town and it tumbled over its roofs, he said, how will Allah ever bring it back to life after its death? So Allah caused him to die. For 100 years, he remained there, 1 century. Then he raised him up again. And he said, how long did you remain alive? Remain dead. How long did you remain dead? The man said, well, maybe I remained dead for a day or part of a day. He said, no, you have remained dead for 100 years. Look at your food and your drink. They show no change. Your food and drink has remained fresh as it was for 100 years. And look at your donkey. And thus we have made for you a sign for the people. Look at the bones, how we bring them together and clothe them with flesh. When this was clearly shown to him, he said, I know now that Allah can do all things. So, one man got his answer. Imagine this whole situation. He asks this question and drops dead. Then 100 years later he wakes up. And he's seeing before his eyes, his donkey is disintegrated. Completely desiccated, gone. Maybe the couple of bones are there. But then, in front of his eyes, they all collect and the flesh is forming on the bones and donkey stands up. And his food and drink is just like that. What do you think will happen? Just think about this. What do you think will happen if I die just now? And I wake up 100 years later in 21, 23. What will I find? All my relatives and friends will be dead. Everyone, whoever I love in this world, whoever is alive today, will be dead in 21, 23. There's no doubt about this. My money and cards won't work. My clothes will be outdated. I will have no ID. I'm not even sure if I will understand what people are saying at the time. What will be the language? New world, new ways, new gadgets, new technology, everything strange, everything a challenge. I will be totally yatim, cut off, powerless, vulnerable, alone. And that is what would have happened to that man. That is what would have happened to that man. Allah said, I've made you a sign for people. So when he goes to the town now, they say, who are you? Oh, from 100 years old. From 100 years ago you came here. What will happen to the man? He got his answer, but how? That's why different strokes for different folks. My Shaykh used to say, Rahmatullah Ali, build your taluk with Allah. And it is not what happens normally that will happen to you. What happens to you depends on who you are in the sight of Allah. So build your connection with Allah and He will give the world into your hands. I remember in 2008 I was invited to speak at the International Hajj Conference in Makkah. So my wife and I went, and when we were going there, one of our very dear friends from Hyderabad, he gave me some documents. He said, since you are going to Jeddah, can you hand these over to so-and-so, who's another very dear friend of ours in Jeddah. And so can you do that? Sure. So now, many of you, or all of you, alhamdulillah, you've been to Jeddah, you've been for Umrah, you've been for Hajj, and this is time of Hajj. What is the scene generally? I remember the advice that my good and dear friend Akbar Sheikh gave me when I went for Hajj first in 1997. He said to me, forget time. I used to wear a watch in those days. He said, take away your watch. Put it in your luggage or don't take it with you at all. Forget time. Just go and relax. He said, you will land in the airport. There's a nice big, you know, place for people to be. There's a place to pray. There's a musalla there. There's food there. There are bathrooms there. So he said, if you time for prayer, pray. You want to go to the bathroom, go to the bathroom. You feel hungry, go some, get some food. You feel sleepy, lie down, sleep in the musalla, sleep on the carpets. Just relax. I said, why? He said, because it's endless. It will take you hours. Don't be surprised if the airport immigration, by the time you get into the bus, alone will take you maybe 3-4 hours. And then you get into the bus and to go to Makkah doesn't take so long. But then once you are in the Hajj thing, to go from Makkah to Mina to Arafat to Muzdalifah back to Mina. He said, this will take you hours and hours and hours. You don't be surprised if you are sitting in the bus in the parking lot in Arafat for 6 hours. And subhanAllah, all of this happened to us. All of this and more happened to us. Right? The reason I'm saying this is, in 2008, when my wife and I went on the invitation from the Wizaratul Hajj, from the Ministry of Hajj, as guests of the king, and in those days it was His Majesty King Abdullah bin Abdul Aziz, Rahmatullah Ali, we were met at the door of the plane by a representative of the Ministry of Hajj. He came, he said, Shaykh, Assalamu Alaikum. I said, Walaikum Salaam. He said, can I have your passport? Give the passport. He said, please come with me. He took me, and in the immigration lounge, as we were coming there, I was going towards the immigration desk. He said, no, please come with me. He takes us into a VIP lounge and says, please have a seat. Big sofas and so on. There is kahwa, there is this, and the dates and whatnot. He said, please help yourselves, and I'll be back shortly. And literally in minutes, he comes back, passport stamped. Can I have your boarding pass? Can I have your luggage tags, please? Yes, here's the luggage tags. Please come with me. Within minutes, we are outside with the luggage and we are going home. I met my friend. I gave him those documents and I find, you know, he's laughing. He's got his very, very amused expression on his face. So when we came out of the airport and there is a huge big GMC. There's a driver and a translator. They're waiting for us. Our escort in the airport, he says, Sheikh, this car is for you, and this is your driver interpreter. They will take you to Makkah, and this car will remain with you for the entire duration of your trip. Right? Same Hajj, same things. Now, when we got into the car, I called my friend Fahim Bhai, and I said, Fahim Bhai, why are you so amused? He says to me, Yaar Bhai, सऊदी आपका लगेज उठाया, जजमी सऊदी गई कैरिड योर लगेज, आई एम अ पुअर मिस्की इन हिंदी, नॉट इन योर लाइफ विल यू सी दिस, बट देन वेन द पुअर मिस्की इन हिंदी इज ए गेस्ट ऑफ द किंग ऑफ सऊदी अरेबिया, ही इज नो लॉन्गर अ प्योर पुअर मिस्की इन हिंदी. When you are connected to power, the rules of the game are changed for you. They don't apply to you. So that's why my Shaykh used to say, build your connection with Allah and He will give the world into your hands. Fast forward to the time when as a young man we see Ibrahim alayhi salam tied up securely with ropes, sitting in the cup of a trebuchet about to be launched into a huge fire kindled to burn him alive. Stand there and look at his face. What do you see? I see a face which is totally calm with a smile on the face to say, let us see what my Rabb wants to show me now. Suddenly, Jibreel alayhi salam appears to him. And he says, yeah, Ibrahim, what can I do for you? Tell me. Now remember, these are friends, right? He has seen Jibreel before alayhi salam. Jibreel Islam is not a new person to him. What do I see? I see the smile is now growing, is bigger and more beautiful. And to Jibreel Islam, he says, nothing. Thank you very much. Jazakallahu khairan shukran. Nothing at all. Now inside he is saying, and now he is connected upwards, is connected to his Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. So inside he is saying, you know me better than I know myself. What did you think I would say to Jibreel alayhi salam? Jibreel alayhi salam, of course, he doesn't know what's in his heart. So Jibreel alayhi salam disappears. He's gone to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who of course knows everything. And he says, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rab, oh my Lord, your Khalil is about to be burnt alive. I asked him if I would help him. He refused to tell me. Please do something. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, go now and tell him that I sent you. And I want to know what he wants from me. So Jibreel alayhi salam reappears. And he says, Ibrahim, your Rabb sent me and wants to know what you want from him. Now that smile is now like the sun. And he says, yeah, Jibreel, my friend, my Rabb doesn't need to ask. My Rabb does not need to ask. And in his heart he's saying, Ya Rabbi, it's not what I want, it's what you want. It's not what I want. It's what you want. Because I want whatever you want. So why the question? When the slave removed the means from between himself and his Rabb, his Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu addressed the fire directly. And he commanded, قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمٍ. And we said, O fire, you become coolness and safety for Ibrahim alayhi salam. Think about this. What were the options to save Ibrahim alayhi salam? A thunder burst that extinguishes the fire. Big cloud burst that extinguishes the fire. Jibreel alayhi salam is ordered to pick him up from midair and take him away. I'm sure that would make for some nice camera footage. Or maybe a tornado comes and sucks up the king of the people who are trying to burn him and throws him into the fire. That would be quite dramatic and symbolic. Or maybe sudden attack by enemies, which reorders obviously all the priorities. Or maybe something else. But none of those would have accomplished Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's purpose, which was to demonstrate His fire. Which was to show that the fire can do nothing. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. The fire can do nothing unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives it the power to do something. Allah does not need to change the thing in order to change its effect. Remember that you are a bystander watching all this happening. What do you see? You see a huge fire and nobody can go near that. It's so massive that they have to launch Ibrahim alayhi salam into it with a siege machine. You see him sitting in the cup of the trebuchet with a huge smile on his face, which keeps growing brighter. You wonder, what kind of a man is this? What's wrong with him? Can't he see the danger that he is in? What is it that he doesn't understand? Or, if you can think that far, then maybe you are asking another question. You're asking yourself, what is he seeing that I can't? What does he know that I don't? Meanwhile, you see this massive crowd baying for his blood. Huge noise. Imagine a soccer match and multiply that 100 times. They're waiting for the king to give the signal for the trebuchet to be fired. The king raises his hand and chops down, and the trebuchet is released. Ibrahim alayhi salam flies through the air and falls into the fire and disappears from the sight of the crowd and from your sight. There is a massive cheer as people now rejoice at their success. Finally, they got rid of this problem called Ibrahim. They burnt him. Nobody, not you, not anyone there, saw the reality of what happened. Until, in the fullness of time, Ibrahim alayhi salam walks out of the fire, safe and sound. His rope had incinerated, but not a hair on his body was even singed. So who was successful? What did it look like to you? But what was the reality? What does success look like to you today? But what is the reality? The stories of the Quran are not for entertainment. They are to reflect upon and apply to our lives. Our fires are interest-based banking and haram businesses and eating and drinking haram or doubtful things, pornography, cigarettes, lotteries, drugs and alcohol, fornication. Add to this list. All of these are legal in this land, but all are haram with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What will we choose? What will we do to get Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from our fires, or will our fires consume us? That is our choice. I remind myself and you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us to worship Him. And He said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ يُتْعِمُونَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and I, Allah, created not the jinn and humans except that they should worship me alone. I seek not any provision from them, for themselves or my creatures, nor do I ask that they should feed me or feed themselves or my creatures. Verily Allah is the all-provider, the owner of power, the strongest. This is the greatest secret. Do your job. When we do the job that we are supposed to do, to give us sustenance is the responsibility of the one who gave us that job. In this case, who created us for that job. What more can we ask? What more can we ask? Ibrahim alayhi salam's story is a beautiful example of this, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala narrated for us so that we may take heed. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His help, for us to live a life in total obedience and submission to Him, Jalla Jalaluhu. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika wa barakatuh.